Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey everybody, welcome to American Martinis. I'm Adam.
Here's Daniel.
Hi.
I was taken back by this, by the way. I thought this morning you said to me, hey, let's record today. I have this like easy episode to
do. I didn't
say
that.
I know. I know you didn't. I kind of, for whatever reason, remember it coming across that way. Maybe you just said, hey, I have this idea for an episode.
No, I said I have an episode topic. I'll send you questions.
Okay. I, for whatever reason, I thought you said I have an easy one and this was not. And, you know, it's kind of what we've talked about for so long now, like what we've been going through, anxiety and our kids and us, like the whole thing. Right. So I thought it was going to be easy. And then I realized, no, not so much.
Oh, really? I did not think it would be easy. I guess I just, it's something maybe that I've been thinking about so deeply that I was more ready maybe than you. By the way, did the dog eat your homework? What happened to your sheets of paper?
Well, in our lovely podcast room where
I need to take a video.
And yeah, right. So the couch was propped up against the printer and it just kind of destroyed my notes.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. Yeah, I'll be okay.
So yeah, I wanted to do an episode this week. You don't really watch our stories, right?
Mm-mm.
But I wanted to do an episode. I've been talking a lot on stories and to my friends and everything about the idea of waiting for the other shoe to drop. That idea that you can't really be settled in a place of comfort and, you know, quote unquote happiness, which that whole word kind of annoys me. But I can't get into this mode of just, okay, we're here, we're settled. There's obviously going to be bumps in the road. But for the most part, like, we have done a lot of good things.
Wait,
and
happiness annoys you? Is that what you said?
I'll get into it. No, happiness doesn't annoy me. The idea of happiness and what it's supposed to mean in our lives annoys me. Half of my notes is kind of about that. But
right.
I think that we have been in this mode for so long. I mean, probably since the beginning of our marriage in a sense, but of problem solving. And now we're at this point of, you know, I think about Mia being away at college, and there's part of me that, look, like I said to a friend the other day, I miss her so much, but there's also this release of, oh my God, like, I can't plan her life for her. I can't be there to tell her to do her homework. I can't, all the things that I have taken on for so long is sort of like, you know what? She's kind of on her own. As much as we're here to support her, I don't know what's going on.
Nor should you or
correct.
Me, right? And she's supposed to, that's what college is, right? Figuring this shit out on her own.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, you're supposed to like be distraught when your kid goes away, and I miss her for sure. She came home this weekend. She complained the whole time that she wanted to go back, which is wonderful because I want her to feel like she wants to go back. But she came home for the Jewish holiday, but I also think that there's a little bit of relief in the fact of, okay, even if I wanted to be in charge of her life right now, I couldn't, right? So I'm down to kind of to two, right? To the boys right now, we're I'm sort of able to just more concentrate on them. As much as I'm always worried, you know, like I'm literally even like she's crossing streets and I'm nervous about that. Mm-hmm. But
I mean, she was cutting meat today and
cut her hand.
Yeah, cut her finger. Yeah. Like she's not the kind of person where you're like, okay, you're out on your own. I'm sure everything is going to be fine.
Yeah. And luckily she's navigating a very small campus. Like she's right. not, because I was thinking about it when I was her age, I was literally thrown into New York City and nobody. Now I'm sure it's different. I think probably they have a really good orientation and stuff, you know, at these big schools. But nobody taught me how to get around the city, taught me how to use the subway, taught like nothing. I was completely on my own.
Luckily for you, when you were in college, there was no cell phones.
Well, you were in college with me my senior year.
Right. I was living vicariously through you going to NYU. But you know, you had no cell phone. There were no cell phones at that time. Because had there been cell phones, you may have killed yourself walking across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. Well, and I think about all the shit I did, right? Like riding a subway at 2 a.m. and by myself because I couldn't afford a cab and all those things that I did that I'm sort of like, I'm so glad she's not somewhere that she can ride a subway at 2 a.m. by herself. Mm-hmm. And now it's different, of course. There's Uber and all of these things. But no, it definitely, she is by far in a atmosphere that's healthy for her and her, you know, her bandwidth for life, which is good. Sure. Which is good.
That's the way to put it.
Yeah. So I've been really hard on myself, I think, the past couple weeks, because I keep saying to myself, oh my God, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, why are we in this amazing neighborhood, amazing town? I'm back where I love, right? Where I've wanted to be for years. You and I are in this really amazing place for the most part, right?
I mean, are we?
We're not?
I think we were for a bit. And then I think it took a little bit of a hiatus.
Oh, shit.
Is that the right word?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think it's been like prime for the last week or so.
Well, yeah, but why, when you think about me, you get mad or?
I don't know. I feel like we were at it, like when we did the move, we got in here, we were figuring things out. We were working, you know, as a team. I don't know. I just feel like in the last week or so, there's been a disconnect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But still, I don't think that's like, you still like me right now. Right?
Yes, okay. Of course.
So yeah, but we're, look, it's not going to be all flowers and roses every day, but for the most part, we are doing well together-ish.
I mean, I like flowers and roses. I mean,
no, seriously. What? No, I don't know. What? Tell me. Say what you gotta say.
No, nothing. You said it. Like, I just feel like there's been a little bit of a disconnect for the last week or so. We've been on a I don't know if it's just emotional roller coaster or whatever. Like, we have a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I've been anxious. You've been anxious. And, you know, I don't think it's been at each other per se, but just our lives, our small little.
Well, maybe I haven't been the one initiating everything. And so it's gone to the wayside, but you need to step in and.
Sorry? Wait, what?
Maybe I was the one who was sort of like initiating everything between us. And I wasn't last week because I was hung up on some other stuff and you don't step in to take over.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that, like, I think I was very, like, up your ass for a long time.
Literally?
I mean, some nights. No, but seriously, I was, like, the one who was sort of all over you, not even just physically, just in a sense of, you know, us being close and being together, and you maybe didn't pick up when I kind of dropped the ball a little bit.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I mean, where we're leading to with this episode, I guess, is about anxiety, about being worried about your current state of affairs and like what's happening today and how are you feeling versus how are you feeling, you know. So micro scope here is, you know, I was feeling great 3 weeks ago. I'm a little more stressed this week than I was 3 weeks ago, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's just such a roller coaster mm-hmm. ride of my feelings and my thoughts and my anxiousness and, you know, mm-hmm. all those things, you know? And I think I'm just at the bottom of the trough right now of reality is setting in and I'm stressed and, you know, mm-hmm. That probably, you know, it's all of the stuff. It's everything, you know?
Which I guess is why, well, one of the reasons why it's so hard to settle into just enjoying where you're at, right?
For how the fuck do you do that?
I know. Well, that's the whole thing.
I mean, am I going to complain that I'm stressed and anxious and I have anxiety and, you know, all, you know, blah, 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 you know, poor me because my daughter went to this amazing college, which is perfect for her. And my two boys went to this amazing private school, which is, you know, perfect for them, we hope. And we moved back to this perfect little town that we came from our roots here, you know, all these amazing things, and poor me for feeling, you know, anxious and, you know, having anxiety and all that kind of thing. I get it. Please don't feel sorry for me or us or, you know, all of the above here. It's a lot at once. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I feel terrible. And like, you know, I've been rewatching The Morning Show and watching what they've been going through and like talking about making $20 million a year and the shit that they're going through. And like, the, you know, we're not here making $20 million a year, but, you know, we've got this shit going on with a lot of great stuff going on at the same time.
Yeah.
That's all. Like, it's hard to feel bad for. It's hard to feel the empathy for. It's hard to feel. But when you're in it, no matter what your situation is, you're in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's all relative, right? I mean, we can sit here all day and say, we shouldn't complain about this because other people have this. And, you know, that could be the excuse for everything.
Yeah. There's always somebody worse. Somebody worse off. Yeah. You can go back. All the way.
Yeah.
There's always somebody worse than you, right? But when you're in the thick of it, like we are, mm-hmm. in good ways and, you know, anxious ways in the same time, you know, you're feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit, I have been like, okay, this is what we set it all up for. This is what we did the work for all of these years to get to this point. And granted, we are at the very, very beginning of seeing how it plays out where we are, but we've taken so much time and put so much effort into making this happen. And, you know, we haven't for a second been complacent in, okay, well, you know, we'll just see how it all works out. And no, we have been pro fucking active for a really long time, like to the point of, you know, researching and finding doctors and schools and, you know, and medications and, you know, support and all of these things that we've done. And now we're here. And I want to just say to myself, well, this is what I did it all for. Can I just sit in it and enjoy? And I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. I can't.
Nope.
And that feels like I'm sort of failing in a sense.
I feel like, by the way, what we were just talking about when I was saying I'm feeling more anxious now than I was even just 3 weeks ago, because 3 weeks ago we brought me to school. She's in college. We got the boys into their school. They're in their school. We moved. We're in our new house. We're in our new town. And it was kind of like, okay, we hit that point where all those things are done. Let's feel good for a week. And then it was like, oh, okay, now we're in it. Mm-hmm. Like, now that we deal with all those things, mm-hmm. you know? So I was, I think a couple weeks ago, it was like, okay, we did all those things. Holy shit, pat on our backs for us that we did those and accomplished those things. Now let's make them happen. Now let's make sure that all the research and all the things that we did and all the money that we spent and all, you know, was it the right thing to do? You know, is it going to work out? You know, we're in stage one. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were just kind of complacent for a week because we accomplished getting ourselves to this place. Now we have to live it.
Yeah. Right?
Now we have to make it happen.
Right. Right.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I look around at people all the time, especially in our new town, because I think people are, you know, it's this really great place where people are walking their dogs all the time and they're walking their kids to school or walking them to the bus stop, or it's much slower paced than we're used to where we were before. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more about the community and all of these nice things. And I look around at people all the time and I'm like, are you genuinely like just able to be happy and be okay and like enjoy everything that you have right now? I mean, I and if so, can you teach me how? Mm. Because I don't know. I posted on our stories, you know, a little bit. I was sort of very honest and was like, look, right now I feel very guilty that all this stuff is happening and I'm not embracing it, even though in some ways I am. And
wait, what's the guilt?
The guilt is that, maybe more than guilt, it's failure. It feels like failure, right? It feels like I should just be able to now be happy and we did it and, you know, it all sort of aligned in a sense. And even though it didn't just align, we worked really hard for it. Yeah. But I can't allow myself to get out of problem solving mode. I can't allow myself to get out of the mode of, all right, what's coming? You know, like,
well, that's what I said.
What's going to fucking hit me in the face next?
Right. That's what I said. Like, we got there. We got to that point. Now we have to make sure that it's going to happen the way that we expected it, you know, our expectations of this whole process that we went through. You know, we thought to the point of getting them to the places that that they should be. Mm-hmm. Do we know what's going to happen after they're there? Of course not. Mm-hmm. So the anxiety of there's no time to just be like, okay, we did it. Mm-hmm. Let's sit back and relax, and it's all gonna free flow at this point. Like,
right.
No, of course not. Right. You know, what's next? What's gonna happen next? What's the next shoe that's gonna drop? Right? Mm-hmm. Is that a saying? The shoe drop?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that
so
right?
So it's a saying, and I think sort of Brené Brown kind of brought it back in one of her books, but. It comes from, it's not that interesting actually when I researched it, but the expression originated in the early 1900s.
Holy shit. First of all, that was not a setup.
What?
That I said the shoe dropped and that you just went into bam, like that's where it came from. Like,
yeah, it is a saying.
No, but that sounded totally like a setup. Like,
oh,
I
really?
Just threw that out there and you were like, oh, and by the way, Brené Brown says that, but you know, that was total coincidence.
Well, I use the saying all the time. And a lot of people, and I like Brené Brown. I've liked her books and everything. I've read her books. I like her. I like her. Yeah. I like her.
Wonderful.
But I've used the saying for a really long time. I've heard it many, many times. But it comes from the early 1900s when new immigrants and people flooding to the cities were crammed into tenement housing, where you could literally hear your upstairs neighbor taking off his shoes at night. Once you heard the first shoe hit the floor, you waited for the other shoe to drop. So it's a saying that's been around a long time. Not that interesting of a story behind it, but that's where I guess it comes from, right? That, you know, you're sitting in your house and you know, the walls are so thin and everyone's so close to each other that you just hear everything going on. And that's what you hear. But I wanted to get into the fact of, I started talking to people about this, especially on Instagram and everything, and doing some research and everything. And a lot of people talked about what Brené Brown talks about, which is foreboding joy, right? That when she did a study where she asked people, what is your biggest fear? And she expected it to be, you know, shame, humiliation, embarrassment. And a lot of people said that. A lot of people said, my biggest fear is feeling joy and feeling happiness. And the fear behind that is that it's a tease. It's going to be taken away. It doesn't last. Mm. And once you feel that and you get that feeling, and then all of a sudden the rug is pulled out from under you and you have to readjust so quickly, and your heart drops into your stomach because now you're back in that place of not feeling that happiness and joy and feeling the hardships of life and everything, it is such a letdown, right? I mean, it is literally like the expression taking candy from a baby. It is that feeling of, oh my God, this is so good, to back to in a heartbeat, life is fucking hard. So it is, you can't sit in that for too long or else it's going to be taken away from you. So instead, you stay in control and are on alert 24/7 so that that doesn't happen to you. So that when you are, if you are feeling joy, you are not feeling the full effects of it because it is too hard to then have that taken away. So rather than it having taken away, you are leaving yourself in this state of in between. Okay, yeah, I realize this is joyful. I realize that my life is good. I realize that there are all these good things going on. I appreciate it more than anything. It's an appreciation. I think that you stay in that zone of appreciation. I am not, however, going to rest in this place of happiness, because if I rest in this place of happiness, then I'm super vulnerable, and I'm definitely going to have to shift so quickly that it is going to be super painful to get back to that state of life is a fucking mess.
That makes a lot of sense to me. When I find myself in just a place of happiness or joy or whatever you want to call it, right? Like, I take it to the full extent. Like, I want to enjoy where I am, what's happening, and just forget about everything else. And I do. I have that ability somehow, whatever it is. I don't know. I don't care. I'm happy in the place that wherever we are, what we're doing. And I know this shit's going to come, and I know it's there when this is over. But I try to really, you know, relish in the fact that we're just doing something that's fun. I don't have to think about anything and I don't have to worry about things, even though I know I do. But then when it comes after, that anxiety kicks in, like when I wake up, mm-hmm. you know, and I had a
great, I hate that feeling of waking up and knowing that something is wrong.
But like I try to spend that day, whatever we're doing, in just complete happiness. We're away. We're in New York. We're doing our thing. We're, you know, we're having fun together. I know there's the darkness at the end of the tunnel. Mm. Like, I know that it's coming. I try to forget. I don't even think about it. I mean, I'm just trying to enjoy the moment because I know it's coming. So I'm kind of the opposite, I think, of what you were saying with Brené Brown, where I don't feel guilty about the, like, I embrace it. I want it. I take it to a full extent, knowing that the next day or the next week, whatever, something's coming that's going to, you know, bring me back down to reality, whatever it is. So I try to really just take that hat. What's my famous say? I got to borrow my happiness from tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. When we're drinking too much and worried about being hungover, you'll say to people, you're just borrowing happiness from the next day in order to enjoy tonight.
Right. So drinking or not, if I'm just having a great time and we're not drinking, like, I know I'm embracing all the goodness and tomorrow I'm just not going to feel the same. You know, I don't know. I try to, when we're the limited time that we have to just forget about the stress and forget about the everyday grind and the kids and us and work and everything. Like I take it to the full extent. Like I try to just, I said it, you know, I don't want to keep
what going. You're talking about, I think, is more moments of joy. You're not talking about an overall state of contentment and happiness, which is sort of, I think I am extremely good, especially lately, although for a lot, maybe always, at experiencing joy and pleasure, and
yeah, those, you have.
and those are momentary, shorter, you know, finite time periods. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about being in a state of mind of, wow, you know, my life is good. My things, for the most part, are going well. And walking around, not always having that storm cloud over you, right? That you're not always waiting for the thunder and lightning, that you're walking in the sunshine and feeling the goodness of your overall life on a more continuous level, right?
I don't know if that could ever happen.
Well, I don't know either, but I think that there are people who do it.
And amazing.
Maybe, but also I think that we are set up to believe that we should be able to do that, right? What is the one thing people say when you say, you know, what are you trying to achieve in life? What do you want for yourself? What do you want for your kids? What's the answer?
Are you asking me or is that rhetorical?
No, I'm asking you. What is the answer? If you said, what do you want from life? What do you want for your kids? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Whew, that's a loaded question. I mean, you know.
Really? You can't think of that in 2 seconds?
I can, but in so many different directions.
Happiness.
You know, I want success. I want happiness. I want them to do whatever it is that they want to do.
No, everybody always says, I just want my kids to be happy. That is the phrase, right? I just want them to be happy.
Okay, right, but that's unrealistic.
I'm just saying that's what we are set up to. That's the ultimate goal, right? To be happy, like in this overall state of mind that we're just happy.
Okay,
right?
But that's unrealistic. Like it can't happen. That's why my mind didn't go there.
That's why I'm saying that. That
I'm too smart. I'm way ahead of you. Like I can't.
No, I'm saying that's our first instinct is to respond with happiness, right? So if someone comes up to you and is like, oh, what's your ultimate goal? You're not like, oh, well, I want to be, you know, I want to be successful and I want to retire, blah, blah, blah. It's, I want to be happy, right? That's what people say usually.
What does that mean?
If you were sitting down with someone maybe for a longer, more intimate conversation, it would get more detailed. But most people say, I want to be happy. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's a major.
Right. Okay. I didn't go there right away because that it doesn't mean anything to say, I want them to be happy. Like, you know, what does that mean? Right. So I think about my children independently, what I want for them independent. Like, what do I want for Ian? What do I want for me? What do I want for Ian? Like, so I want, of course, I want them to be happy. Of course. Mm-hmm. Right. What does that mean?
Well, that's what I want to get into is what does that mean? And the fact that I call bullshit on the fact that, you know, society is always happiness this and happiness that and we should be happy. And then when you don't really achieve that overall state of happiness where you're just able to enjoy life and everything, it's a reflection of you, right? That, oh my God, I am too anxious and I'm not able to relax and I'm not grateful enough for what I have and all the things. But I know we have to take a break. You're looking.
I'm going to stick it in before we're too late. So
that's what she said.
Keep going.
Okay.
Oh, there's a lot of
double entendre.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I can keep
going. Yeah, keep going.
Oh my
Love it.
God.
Keep
it's the
going,
best
babe.
Day of my life. Yeah. So, okay. So
anytime I tell you to keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
Best day of your life. So, but I do have to pee.
Oh, so pause it.
Okay. But I'm still sticking the ad in before.
You go, boy.
I will.
Look at you.
I know how to stick
it
in.
Damn, you are a rebel.
I'm right back.
So I guess I was feeling really down on myself this week because I so badly wanted to just be able to enjoy where we're at, right? Mm-hmm. And I was sort of doing the opposite of what I tell my kids. I always say to them, or our kids.
Yeah, they're mine too.
Yeah. So I always say to them, you know, things take time and you know, you're rushing into something and the goal is always like the goal is always to get to the goal, right? That you want to be there as soon as you can. And I have been thinking to myself all week, why am I not starting to feel good about everything that we have worked so hard for and everything? And the more I thought about it, you know, I thought about foreboding joy, as Brené Brown says, and I 100% I agree with that very much, that I am I am always on alert for, I don't want to have to pivot too much and be disappointed, right? Disappointment is a terrible feeling. So I'll just stay in this safe zone of I am ready, right? Like that beginning of the video game where the guy's like, you know, bouncing back and forth, like in ready mode, but you know, you're picking your player and all that.
What are you
stuff.
Thinking of, like Mortal Kombat or
sure,
Street Fighter?
You know, like that, the those? Beginning of that part where they're just like there and ready, and you know, nothing's happened yet, but you know, so I'm in that. I'm like in ready stance. You know, just in case shit has to go down, I am ready. But I don't want to be in that place, right? I want to be in the place of feeling good, and then if something happens, and shit always does, okay, you know, hopefully it's nothing that terrible, but shit happens every day. But I also thought to myself, in what world does it make sense for us as members of this society to be able to stay in that mode, right? From the time we are tiny kids, we are constantly taught to be in problem solving mode up to the fact, you know, up to the point of elementary school where what do? You problem solve all fucking day long. You're learning, you know, the alphabet, the this, the that. Like from the second we are tiny kids in this society, it is testing and, you know, and reaching milestones and, making sure that you're ready for the test and you're ready for the next stage of life. And there is no time for just enjoying and being, even as a young kid.
Yeah, but I also think that today, our time, we can't even compare to the stress and anxiety that kids are feeling today.
True.
And, you know, they're picking up phones at 6 and 7 and 8 years old, you know, and there's... Are you being recorded? Are somebody going to post about you? Are you on social media? How many friends and likes? And what do you have? Like, you know, we had none of that. You know, the worst thing that could happen was that your class knew you did something that was funny or embarrassing and whatever, and it was gone in a day, right? Now the world knows how badly you fucked up or what you did. Did you embarrass yourself in whatever way on, you know, TikTok or, you know, whatever. Or you're going to have, you know, bullying going on. Like, we don't even understand
these
kids.
Oh, we had all that. We had bullying and stuff.
Not that we didn't have bullying, but, like, bullying online is to another degree, right? Like, it's everybody for themselves on there, right? Like, there's no face-to-face. There's no talking to each other. There's no looking at somebody. And when you say something so horrific to somebody else, that you see their facial expression, that you see how they, what you just said makes them feel. Like there's none of that. So you're just beat up on, you know, figuratively from all angles, from so many people for whatever, you know, like you don't even know what you did or what you said or, you know, it's, I don't think we can understand what these kids are going through today. And I think it's just going to, were we anxious? Sure. Our kids today? Holy shit. And what's going to be going forward, you know? I mean, it's tough out there.
Yeah, but I'm more talking about the fact of, and I think that all contributes to the fact of, oh my God, I need to watch myself and I need to, you know, the same thing, be on alert. And is this person going to say something about me on social media and everything? I agree with all of that. But I think also just the basics of how society, whether it be because we're a capitalistic society or we're a society that just thrives on success and everything, I think that we throw it out there, this idea of happiness, but never, ever are we taught what to do with that. And I, you know, and I researched it and we're in problem solving mode from the time we're tiny. Right. Look, if the goal was really happiness, we wouldn't from 3 months old be needing to hit milestones. Right. Like from 3 months old, it's like, did they roll over? Did they this? You know, when did you start eating food? When did you start crawling? When did you start walking? But like everything is the next goal. right?
You're right. Nothing, where are kids last?
And everything.
All those things.
And Mia, I fucking freaked out because our kids were late with everything. Ian, I was a little less so. And then Joe and I was just like, you know what? He'll pee in the potty when he needs to.
Yeah, but by the time
he's married, he will piss in the potty, I promise.
Yeah, but he figured out languages by the time he was 6 months old anyway, so it was fine.
But you're not even allowed to enjoy all of that, right? Because you're at the doctor every month, like, here's the checklist and here's what you need to do. There's no just enjoying the time. And by the time you're done, even just through high school, not even including if you go to college, kids will spend 16,380 hours in a classroom, possibly 20 minutes a day in recess, possibly. Mm. And now a lot of states don't even require recess, right? So you know, there isn't any room for just happiness, for just, right? You are getting report cards. You are taking standardized tests. I mean, all the things that make it so that you are constantly waiting to hit that next goal.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
So is there less recess now than there was in the past?
Yes, yes.
Does that have anything to do with the reason that there's more ADHD out there than ever was?
Well, they do say, you know, that kids who have recess are punished much less behaviorally.
Obviously, they're out there fucking running around and being kids and being boys and girls and whatever. But
still, 86%, there was a study done, and 86% of teachers are still taking away recess as a form of punishment.
But I always feel like that. Look, maybe this was a mistake that you and I made. Maybe we fucked up. But I always felt like taking away, like if the kids were bad, we would never take their phone away or their iPad away, because that's punishment for us.
100%.
I feel like that as a teacher, it's like take away their recess. That's punishment for you as a teacher, right?
Well,
they're going to act up more.
You have such limited resources as a teacher of how you're punishing a kid. Like, what are you doing?
No, I don't know, but you know,
I'm not condoning it. I think taking away recess.
You know,
recess
what would fix the problem? Give them more recess, and then that would solve
right,
the problem.
100%.
Then
yes,
they can release all their energy and all their, you know, their what's the word I'm looking for?
Their energy, their outlet.
They need to let it go. They need to like let it.
Okay, but you're saying that as someone who isn't being judged according to the performance of their students on standardized tests.
I'm not blaming the teachers in any way.
Right. I mean, this is a whole. That's a whole other.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Look, it's multi-layered, and of course, recess should be a no-brainer. But now, there are only a handful of states that have a law that require teachers to give at least 20% of recess a day. And I just, it's just incredible to me that, you know, that's what we do from such a young age. Even you look at organized sports and everything, dance places, you know, everywhere that has extracurricular activities, it's all competitive based and kids love it. I'm not saying take it away, but it is all focused on this goal. And so what are we not learning in schools? We're not learning time management, how to balance, you know, pleasure and joy with success and achievement and everything. We're not learning meditation and gratitude journals and all the things that they say are what causes us to be able to live a life of being in the moment we're not teaching those things. We are just preaching those things, right? So if you ask somebody, how do you live in the moment? All the ways that they say, the gratitude, the meditation, the yoga, the, you know, the just learning to just be. None of those are taught in schools. Well, most schools, right? So there's such a disconnect between what as a society we say is important and what we teach is important. And that is a little bit what I was thinking to myself when I was being so hard on myself. I was sort of like, you know, I don't remember a time in life where I wasn't anxious about, and a little bit maybe it was because I was the third kid and I was like competing with my siblings and all this stuff, but I don't remember there, other than maybe sleepaway camp, I don't remember there being a time of just happiness, right? Of just being able to be a kid for a really long period of time.
I did in high school. Not that I should have, and it was probably wrong of me to feel this way too, because like I didn't care about my work and my grades. I did what felt good for me, and I had a great time.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and I had a great time.
Yeah, I know you did.
For a lot of years, yeah. You know, I did what I wanted to do, and I did what felt good, and I you know, I didn't stress about work. I didn't stress about grades. I didn't stress about what college am I going to.
Suffered later because of it.
100%. I'm just saying, in that time, in and of itself, I was almost kind of like stress free because I didn't give a shit. Like I didn't have a. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it was right, and it wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't doing the right thing. I'm just saying I had that place in my life where I felt stress free, mm-hmm. whether it was warranted or not. And it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And looking back on it, like, all right, you know, I had some good times, you know, like,
well, we all did when we were in high school and college. Sure. I had lots of good times. I'm still having good times. Many good times.
Yeah, but even during our good times as adults, there's still that thing in the back of your mind that, you know, where I think I kind of didn't even have that, you know, at one point, you know?
Yeah, but I think that's...
like that pure, pure happiness.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why recently I have been putting so much emphasis on pleasure. We've talked about that, right? That I've, you know, when we were really stressed... and everything, I was putting more emphasis on pleasure. And I was allowing myself to do things that societally are extremely taboo. You know, I love to smoke cigarettes. Like, I love things that are, by society's standards, maybe because, well, they're unhealthy. And they're wrong in society's terms, a lot of them.
What else? I mean, you smoke some cigarettes. I mean, like,
no, that's not true. I stopped doing things like I haven't gotten on a scale in 3 years. I order what the fuck I want at a restaurant, right? We have cocktails a lot, which is shunned upon in a lot of cases, and it's very complicated. I don't want to get into it, but
okay. Is it? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. But I think that maybe the key and the goal is pleasure and moments of joy, right? That we need to rid of this whole overall idea of happiness. Because when we set ourselves up for that, I don't know that we have any any other end game but to fail. And so
why are the moments of joy to like get through? Like, why are they bad? You know what I mean? Like, why, you know, smoking cigarettes or
a lot of people don't know. I have tons of friends who are like, oh, I go to the gym and it's fabulous. Right. And this is me. I am not, you know, I am not going to lie to myself and be like, oh, going to the gym will bring me joy. It fucking won't. Sitting in my bed and watching Netflix with 17 cups of coffee laced with Sweet and Low is going to bring me joy. But then I'm also, on the other hand, going to be like, well, you get whatever's coming to you health-wise, you know, and you don't deserve to live a long time. And that's going to be what's going to kick you in the ass, because you're not going to be allowed to enjoy your life one day. And, you know, it sucks. And you know, I think that's why so many of us concentrate on these, to go outside and have a cigarette and be out there for 15 minutes. It's a really nice break, right? Like, what am I doing? Like, watching the fucking birds if I'm outside? No, I want to smoke a cigarette. I mean, honestly, and it's terrible. I am not condoning it. I'm not advocating for it. I am just saying that there are things that bring me joy that I have not been denying myself of, because I think... because I think that I'm being honest with myself about what brings me joy.
No, I completely understood. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that brings me joy recently is my commute, you know, and it's just not bad for me. I now have a 50 plus minute commute. I fucking love it. I don't leave too early. You know, I leave at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm by myself listening to a podcast, drinking my smoothie, and like, I, for 50 minutes alone with nobody bothers me. Nobody calls me. I've always had a 10 minute commute, you know, and I get in the car and then I'm at work, and then my day starts. And now I have this time to just unwind,
I love that you love your commute.
I do. It's long-ish. It's not bad. There's no traffic. It's a nice drive. It's not, you know, nothing bad.
It's very, yes, that's very unique, because usually people commute in the morning. You know, when I was taking Mia in the morning.
Yeah, it's not a parkway drive. It's not a turnpike drive.
Right.
You know, it's not back roads, but it's not highways.
Yeah,
you know?
You're not like navigating like trailer tractors the whole time.
Not at all. Not
tractor
one
trailers.
Way. Yeah.
Something like
it
that.
It was right.
Mm-hmm.
So... I kind of look forward to my commute. Like, I love, like, that brings me a little bit of joy every day. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe not at the end of the day when it's time to come home and I'm like, it'd be nice if I was home in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I still kind of enjoy it. Like, it's just my alone time. It's just unwind, just forget about everything, listen to a podcast or listen to, you know, whatever, and just take my time and, you know, drive home or drive to work. You know, that's it's not bad for me. So, yeah. Hey, there's one.
Right. No, that's good. No, that is amazing that you have something that is not bad for you. That is.
But it's only been 3 weeks. So let's see what happens in 3 months.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
Let's see how I feel about it.
But let's break this down. Right. Where are you commuting to?
What is it? Like, what city?
No. Like, where are you? Just what's your? Where are you commuting to?
Work.
Work.
Yeah.
Okay. You are commuting to work. That is wonderful.
Is it?
You will wind up at work.
That's wonderful.
Well, I'm just saying, like, there's nothing shameful about that. If you were commuting every fucking morning to, like, you know, play in a rock band or.
Oh, God.
Yeah. No, I'm serious. Or get a massage
that.
Or.
No, not a massage. I want the rock band.
That would. I'm just saying in general, right? You're commuting to work. Like, you did it.
Right. Now I'm at work.
Yeah. Now you're at work.
Like, hey, we're in Delaware.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, there is that. Where are you when you're done? You're at work. Right. You're not at the bar.
Right.
So, you know, were you commuting to the bar? That's not something you'd be sharing right now. Were you commuting to the spa? Probably wouldn't be sharing.
Right.
So, you know, there's still that. And I do think that, as a society, even with pleasure, we've made that hard. And I'm trying very much not to have that be hard. And even me, like, I am, people who know me know I'm a very intense person, right? Like,
no.
I really am. But, and I'm intense with the people who I love and everything like that. And I want so desperately for the people I love to feel pleasure and joy, right? But because it's so taboo in society, then that people aren't always ready for what I present as pleasure and joy, right? Like, I'm constantly skirting that line of being close to people while not being overly too much. You know what I mean? Like I just think that as a society, we have these regulatory things of pleasure and everything. Like the way I talk to my friends, if it wasn't public and people saw it, they'd be like, that is super fucking inappropriate. And I'm sort of like, no, it's just me being super honest about my feelings about them in a way that maybe is different than other people, right? Like, I don't just say to my friends, like, if they look good in something, I'm not just like, damn, you look good. I'm like, holy shit, every man in this bar is mind fucking you now.
I have tons of pictures of you and your friends on each other's laps. Yes. You know, kissing each other.
And I love them. And that brings me pleasure.
It brings me pleasure too. Yeah, okay.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I think even with pleasure, look, I was talking about going to a restaurant. I order what I want when I go to a restaurant now. I do not. I never. Now? Past few years. Only the past few years. Oh, I was always like the... What?
Before you met me?
Are you kidding me?
That you wouldn't order what you wanted?
Until 2 years ago, I was like, I'll have the salmon, which salmon's great. If you order salmon, fantastic.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're wrong.
What?
You're wrong. You're wrong. No, I was always so, and the whole thing is that, look, when you're out at a restaurant, and I have to fight it against myself now, I love food. I moan when I have food, but I love. Mm. And I am fighting the entire time against the whole, well, your jeans are going to be tight tomorrow. And, you know, what do people say? A cheat night. You know, a cheat day. I'm going to go back on my diet tomorrow. You're not in that zone of absolute pleasure because you're thinking to yourself of all the ways you're going to make up for the way that you've strayed right from the diet, that when you go out and you eat the wings and the mozzarella sticks and the pizza and all the things in the back of your mind, I don't know about as a man, maybe, maybe not, but as a woman, you're thinking to yourself, oh, tomorrow I got to wake up and get back on track. I got to get to the gym. I got to do all these things. So we're even fucking with our pleasure.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think about that stuff all the time. Like tomorrow I got to get up and I got to work out.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat the shit, but I'm going to go one workout and be better tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm just going to eat the shit. But I have to fight against that. Look, as podcasters with the podcast that we have, I have done many, many posts and testing of sex toys and products for women and pleasure products for women and everything. And quite honestly, number one, I do it because, first of all, they pay really, really well because there's a select few of us who will do it because it's so shameful to promote those things, right?
Really? And, today?
Well, let me go on.
Go ahead.
Secondly, please. When I promote them, and I don't do it as much anymore just because like we have other stuff going on, not because I don't believe in it or think it's important or anything like that. And anybody who wants recommendations, I will always give recommendations. And I think it's super important to have these things, whether you're married or not. And I remember when I was doing it a lot, right? There was a time when I did it a lot because I really truly did believe in it. And like I said, it paid well. And people would always say to me, aren't you worried about what your kids are going to think? But that you're plastered all over the internet, like holding a fucking vibrator or whatever I was doing. And I remember thinking to myself, and I even said it a few times, like, are you serious? Like, this is what we're worried about. This is what I should feel shameful for, that I'm going to help some woman get an earth-shattering orgasm, and that's what my kids are going to be upset about that? Like, are you asking the same questions to the mom who's selling, like, the dangerous diet products and everything? I don't think so. And that's just, like, I think we even shame pleasure in those ways, right? Like, that I always had to be like, no, I'm not. I don't feel shameful if my kids see that. I'm going to say women's pleasure is important. And I don't know why that's shameful. But yet that's the first go-to. I mean, we had someone in our life whose son saw me on the internet and saw me holding a sex toy. And look, first of all, if your son's following me at a certain age, you know, let's watch more what our kids are doing on the internet. But also, I don't know, my answer would be, it wasn't a fucking gun. Like, it was a sex toy. And the fact that we shame that just goes to show that we aren't pushing pleasure. We're not pushing those things. And so I think that we, even with pleasure, we have to be careful of what we're shaming and not shaming. But I think that I'm realizing that I will not get to a place where I will have this overall feeling of happiness. And that's okay, because I've been conditioned like that my whole life. We've all been conditioned like that our whole life.
So can we ever get there?
I don't know that we need to. I think more we need to indulge in the pleasures and the simpler things, right? I'm going to eat the fucking mozzarella sticks, and I'm going to spend you're not going to like this, but mm-hmm. I'm going to spend the money on the Broadway tickets, or I'm going to spend the money on the vacation, or all of those things that I know there's stress associated with all of it for this or that. But I don't know. When I'm with certain people, I feel a lot of pleasure. I want to make more time for them. When I am with you and, you know, we're in bed, even though you hate sleeping with me, that brings me pleasure.
Sleeping.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Physically sleeping.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I don't hate sleeping with you. I hate sleeping with your snoring.
Okay. I know. But it's just, you're just going to have to get over it.
I can't.
Okay. I bought you earbuds, like ear plugs.
Wait, so another thing.
No, you didn't even try it. You needed to try it.
I tried me as
try
well.
Try it. You might like it. Oh, okay. That's what you need to sleep in Mia's room from now on? Fine, go. All right, fine. I got plenty of sex toys. I don't need you. So I guess that's what I'm concentrating on now, right? Like that I want to indulge in all those. Maybe I'll be able to get to a place where I can feel overall happiness. Maybe it'll be when my kids are grown and maybe they'll give me grandkids. Maybe they won't. Maybe that will be my period of happiness if I'm still alive, because I once sometimes smoke some cigarettes. Maybe I don't deserve. I don't know.
I feel like never. I feel like we're never going to be at this place of ultimate happiness. I feel like, mm-hmm. you know, we're at this place now, which is our, you know, utmost stressful point in our lives, where our kids are in the schools, you know, Mia's in college, the boys are going to be in college. When they're out of college and they're on their own, like, we're going to be worrying mm-hmm. at every stage. Did they meet somebody? Are they going to get married? Are they not? Either way is fine. We don't, you know, doesn't sure. matter. You know, if as long as they're happy.
Right. Well, that's,
you know.
Well, right? What you just said right there is something I think that all of us should have been told that we weren't. You
right.
don't have to fucking get married.
Oh.
No, I'm not.
To 2 years later, now you say that.
Right. But yes.
Yeah.
But yes. No, I want to be married to you. I love you now.
Yeah, but.
But.
You told me we had to get married.
I did. Yeah. I did, because that's what I was taught.
Right.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is maybe that's part of the key, right? That we need to stop. Like, we need to stop with the everything has to be done a certain way. I right. think the more we open ourselves up to that, the more we take the shame out of everything. I mean, you know,
it's happening even without us saying this. You know, people are having less people are getting married. Less people are having
kids.
No,
there's still a ton of shame associated with it.
That's changing though. I think that's changing tremendously. No.
Okay. Nope. Nope.
Really?
I don't think so. Nope. I think that when someone is not married, the first thing someone says is, oh, I have someone I can set you up with.
Okay. You're talking about your grandmother.
Okay. But they're still fucking alive. They're still doing it. My grandmother's not. So she's not telling anyone that they.
So in 10, 15 years, that's going to be gone, right? So.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying.
No, no. That's absolutely not true. People still, when you get married, when's the first kid?
All right,
maybe they don't want to have kids.
If any of your three children came to you and said, you know what? I don't want to get married. You'd be okay with that.
You're going to compare me to the rest of society?
No, I'm just saying that our generation,
think. No, we don't represent our generation.
You don't think so?
No way. No way. I think a lot of our listeners feel like we do. And I think a lot of our Instagram followers feel like we do. I think on a whole, society does not feel like that at all. You're really fucking with the system.
But then why is the average age of marriage going up every year? Like, why is it? I don't know what it is. I don't want to put a number out there. But I think since we got married at 25 years old, that's not the norm anymore. Like, it wasn't the norm then. But I think even today, it's people are in their 30s and 40s getting married, right? And are they having kids? Maybe, maybe not. Like, things are changing.
Yes, they're getting married when they're older, but I still think that there's if this whole, you feel like your clock is ticking, especially as a woman, right? My clock is ticking. Am I?
All right, Marissa Tomei.
Yeah. Picture this. You're a deer. You put your sweet little deer nose up to the gun, and boom, fucking bullet hits you in the head.
My biological clock is ticking.
Like this. And at the rate we go, and we ain't never getting married. But I maybe we're in the right direction. I don't know. It's going to take a long time. But I don't know. I just want people to... I think we're hard on ourselves about this. I don't think we are conditioned at all to feel like we should just be able to enjoy the moment. And we need to be gentler with ourselves, right? But I do think that we can find joy in the smaller moments. Like you were saying before, we go away to New York for the weekend and we indulge and stuff. And then we get back and we're like, holy fuck, we spent way too much money and all this stuff. And now we do it to a different degree than we used to. We used to do it to a degree that was like,
right,
ridiculous. Now we go, we enjoy, we know we need it. And a little bit, you know, we're going to be in debt anyway. So you might as well like stay in a nice hotel.
Right. Just it's debt. Just keep going.
It's just debt. Yeah, it's just debt.
Bigger debt. Who
bigger
cares?
Debt. Totally. And we're going to die early anyway, right. Apparently, according to society. So, you know, I just want people to do what feels good in a sense without the shame, I guess, is the ultimate goal for me. That.
I mean, that's a. Careful with that.
I'm not pushing like hardcore drugs or anything.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying even the little things, right? We're so hard on ourselves with everything. And I know that there are people who feel guilty like sitting at home on a Sunday doing nothing and you scroll through Instagram and your friends are all like doing 1,000 things with their kids. But look at it like this. You are, you know, they're at travel sports and, you know, their kid is in the spelling bee or whatever. You are already setting your child up by not doing anything for no failure.
Right.
So just keep doing that.
Before we leave, I just want to throw out there my pure happiness and my pure joy. You can separate these two out however you'd like. Number one is when you and I are in a good place, like when we go out.
The good place.
Not the good place, but mm-hmm. our good place. Mm-hmm. Just a night out, the two of us in a good place. And, you know, if it's a weekend or a night out to dinner, which I'm excited about, we have a winery a mile down the road from us mm-hmm. where they have events and they have jazz bands and they have like...
They have a fence?
Events.
Oh, uh-huh.
And a fence. That's my pure happiness and joy, uh-huh. As is leaving me the fuck alone. And I can sit on the couch and like watch a movie I've seen 1,000 times and be by myself. Uh-huh. Love that. Like, so I need me some alone time. Mm-hmm.
Of
right?
course.
Of course.
Fine with me. That's why I have sex toys.
Wait, what else did I have? I had another one. I don't want to say another one. It'll piss you off.
Tell me. No, I want to know.
No, like I love a good workout.
Yeah, that doesn't piss me off.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, okay. You're being super healthy with your workouts right now.
When I do a good workout, I feel fucking amazing. Like I hate going to do it. Like uh-huh. I feel like I'm like, it's like a fight with my body. Like
I have nothing against working out.
No, I know. I don't want to throw it in your face. Like I'm working, you know, I'm working out.
Oh, you're not. I'm fine. I'm the jiggle's all good. I love it.
My last is a good thunderstorm.
That's about to happen, I think.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. I'm so happy. I love the rain. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people get depressed in the rain and get sad. Mm-hmm. And I love the rain and thunderstorms. That brings me joy.
Okay. Yeah.
Joy? Is that the right word?
Yes.
Is it joy?
Sure.
No, I don't think joy is right.
I know. Our language is weird. That's why happiness is such a weird word.
It's not happy, and I'm not joyful. I know. It's like in a good place. It's like
we need to start over with the English language. It all sucks. We need to just
we are
wipe the plate
we
clean.
Oh, we have all the new words now.
Yeah.
It is kind of re.
Right.
You know, there's all these new words.
Bruh. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it's all, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're all becoming, you know, just the, what's the word for just using letters? Like OMG or LOL or.
An acronym?
Is that acronym?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
You should know this.
No, I've lost all that part of my brain. I smoked it away or something. I don't know.
Well, that's becoming that a new English language anyway. It's like hieroglyphics. That's the new English language.
Okay.
Like the emojis the LOLs.
Emojis are the best.
Right.
The best kind of communication ever. I mean, we need more of them, but yes. But sometimes I search for something and I'm like, really? You don't have that? Like,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, you have a kiwi, but you don't have this shit?
Oh.
Yeah, there's sometimes when I search and I'm like, I want a certain emoji and I'm like, all right, I need to join that team and emojify the emojis.
You should emojify the emojis.
I do. I need to.
Yeah.
Because they do not know how communication works.
Anything else?
Yeah. No.
Good?
I guess I'm good. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think this helped anybody. But I just want people to be gentle with themselves because, you know, this idea of overall happiness and everything. First of all, we're like the 36th fucking country in the United States in terms of happiness. Okay. So anybody who's feeling like they should be happy and they're not, come on. Right? Like, it's like Denmark, Norway, Sweden are like the top three, and we are literally like, I think we're like 36 or 38 or something. I'll look at the actual statistic, but we ain't up there.
A lot of reasons.
Lot of reasons.
Wonderful country. I love the United States. Like, totally patriotic. Like, the whole thing. Lots of problems, right?
Lots of problems.
Lots of problems. Yes.
But, yeah, but I just, you know, when I was feeling so guilty and not being, oh, look, it's raining, Ad.
So happy.
See, I ordered that. I ordered that. Isn't that romantic?
It
me and God were like this.
I'm so happy and joyful.
But anyway, yes, that is totally. I just want people to maybe start to indulge. Look, the little things that I've done are huge. The not weighing myself. And I'm not saying not everybody needs to do this, but what little things can you do to maximize the pleasure in your life, right? I don't know. And don't worry about the shame. Fuck the shame. Right? Buy the sex toy and, you know, go on the booze cruise or the whatever you want to do, unless you have issues, and then don't go on the booze cruise. But you know, I'm just saying, like, we're so conditioned for shame for all the wrong shit. Pisses me off. Fuck
damn right.
That.
I get it.
Yeah. And I make so many people uncomfortable. But it's not my fault. It's society's fault.
Right.
Yeah.
Not okay. Yours.
No, I know what. No, I know it's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good?
Good. Please rate and review.
Oh,
no, I'm serious because I get so many messages of people like, we love you and I'm so grateful. But like, if you could send me those messages and then just go, please rate and review. It helps us so much.
Thanks.
And wedding season is coming up. Bridal shower season. Our date night book is a phenomenal gift.
When's bridal season?
Now-ish.
Is it?
I think like now.
Why is there a season like people get married
like,
at
well,
a
like,
time?
You're not in like.
Oh, like the fall.
Like January.
Spring.
Yeah, like February is not wedding season.
Right.
February is like snow season.
Right.
So, you know, from now through, I guess, January is wedding season. So you have showers, bridal showers, bachelorette parties, whatever. The date night book is great, and it makes a phenomenal gift along with whatever else you're giving. It's very unique, and people love it. So there's that.
Okay.
Okay.
Good?
Good.
All right.
Why are you being so weird?
No, something just happened on the screen. I had to get back to it. Oh, okay. It doesn't matter. All right. Thanks, guys. Love you.
All right, love you.
Bye.
Bye.